Revelation renewed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Joel 2, verse 27. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah 40, verse 5. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. Ezekiel 39, verse 7. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25, verse 9. The Jews as a people will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King. He will overthrow the Antichrist and save them. Hence, again, Joel says, And my people shall never be ashamed. Grace Anthem. Faith triumphant, blessed victory, every barrier swept away, heaven descending joy and fullness, dawn of everlasting day, Jesus only, him to love and him obey. Pentecost promised, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. This portion contains the culmination of the swallowing up of the devastation. The oft-promised spiritual showers are here foretold. The material rains were only reminders and symbols of the far greater spiritual floods upon the dry ground. Isaiah 44, verse 3. Joel beheld the pouring out of the Spirit just before the day of the Lord, the day of darkness, gloominess, and judgment. But Peter, by divine inspiration, declares Joel's prophecy partly fulfilled in his day. Of course, Peter expected the foretold day of darkness to follow the advent of the Spirit, even as Joel did, but he understood differently when he wrote his second epistle. See 2 Peter 3, verse 8. There are three points of difference between these two men's words, although they both spoke by and concerning the same Holy Spirit. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Joel 2:28a. And it shall come to pass, and it shall be, in the Revised Version, In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Acts 2, verse 17a, spoken by Peter. The first point is that Joel said afterward, that is, after all that is recorded in Joel 1, 2, 1 through 27, and Joel 3. After the treading down of the city by the nations and the consequent losses, after the overthrow of those nations and the restoration of fullness and plenty in the land, even after what we shall read in Joel 3, because the fullest measure of the Spirit's presence and power in Palestine will follow the Battle of Armageddon. Therefore, Peter could not say afterward, but in the last days. See our studies in Acts chapter 2. This leads us to the third point in which Peter differs from Joel. Peter writes that, Thus saith God, I will pour out of, Greek, apo, my Spirit. At the beginning, Pentecost was only an earnest of the floods upon the dry ground. Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 4. The showers of blessing. Ezekiel 34, 26. The Spirit has not yet been poured out upon all flesh. The mighty visitation of the Holy Spirit of the past 46 years is a renewal of the first showers of Pentecost as an earnest of the final and complete fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Peter's words, in the last days, include the present church age and the coming millennial age. Time compassed by two great periods, the first days of the period before Christ came and the last days, the period since he came. These are expressed by the two calendar countings, A.M., Anno Mundi, in the year of the world, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Hosea, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and Peter, in 2 Peter 3, 8, tell us that there are three last dispensational days. But we want to impress upon our minds that the final Pentecost will be far more wonderful and powerful than the first, or the present, effusion of the Spirit. By means of the early spiritual reign, the first advent of Christ and the Holy Spirit, God has been visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Acts 15:14. There was only a sprinkling of salvation for the Jews because they refused the Messiah nationally. But at Christ's second advent and the final outpouring of the Spirit, the great worldwide revival among Jews and Gentiles will take place. After this church age, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Acts 15, verses 16 and 17. Those will be halcyon days for both Jews and Gentiles. The golden age will then be here. The second point in which Peter's words differ from Joel is this. Peter added, saith God, the emphatic Greek order for God saith. Peter sought to impress his hearers that he was not simply quoting Joel's words, but the words of God. They were responsible to accept the prophecy as divine. Are we not responsible to accept them as divine? Were not Peter's words also the voice of Jehovah? Not one prophetic student denies that we are in the last days. Then how can men deliberately denounce the present effective, phenomenal working of God and call it fanatical and devilish? What happened in the beginning of the last days? How can Acts 15:17 be fulfilled in the closing days except by a repetition or a continuation of the same miraculous phenomena of the first last days? If the phenomena in Peter's day were the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy in any measure, what else can similar supernatural phenomena be today if not another fulfillment of Joel's prophecy? How dare men garble the scriptures by introducing substitute for Jehovah's own sovereign gift and his miraculous accompaniments? How dare men admit the miraculous of the early last days and insist that we can be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power in the last days without the Spirit's own phenomenal sign and without the works of power that prove his presence? Peter exclaimed, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Acts 2, verse 16. Certainly we need to be able to say of our anointing or baptism, as some term it, this is that which was spoken by Joel and enjoyed by Peter. Anything less is spurious, being a vain imitation. Not only did God say, but he saith, he has continued to say, this is that, for lo, these 1900 years. How foolish are those who turn a deaf ear to his voice. But how blessed and victorious and useful and how pleasing to him are those who believe and heed his words. Joel's afterword has therefore already come to pass in a measure. To some extent, the material rains have been falling in Palestine for about 25 years. Over 40 years ago, the Holy Spirit began to manifest his mighty power in signs and wonders. People became filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the distinctive supernatural sign of their anointing. Our God be praised. These phenomena continue, for Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Mark 16, verses 16 and 17. And some saints still believe God is preparing the church for translation, for it is the day of his preparation. Nahum 2, verse 3. The world is being warned of certain judgment, and the Jews are being made ready to receive Christ as their Messiah and King, although they may not realize it. Tribulation days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Joel 2, verses 30 through 31. Revelation 8 and 9 record somewhat in detail the things here mentioned by Joel. They will likely begin before and continue throughout the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation upon the Jews. The great and terrible day of the Lord will follow, for Jesus said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." Matthew 24:29. The Battle of Armageddon will culminate and end the tribulation days. It seems that the darkening of the sun and moon and the falling of the stars and the shaking of the heavens will be occasioned by that battle, or at least occur at that time. All the terrific and indescribable commotions in the sky and on earth for that brief time, Joel foresaw as great and terrible. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel 2, verse 32. The remnant of Jews shall be delivered during those days. The prophecy of the two witnesses of Revelation 11 will be effectual. Some of their hearers will cry out to Jehovah and believe on Jesus and be saved from their sins and endure unto the end of the tribulation. The same shall be saved miraculously from physical death, for those days will be shortened by sovereign divine intervention. Matthew 24, verse 13 and 22. As we read in Joel 3, verse 1, God says, I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. See also Micah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Observe that Peter quotes only part of this last verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2, verse 21. Because the tribulation could not come within the first 7 years of the Spirit's advent. Only Daniel 9:24 with its half-dozen proffered blessings could be fulfilled. Daniel 9:27, a week, 7 years, of trial and judgment will occupy the opening of the millennium because Israel as a nation did not accept those six blessings in the beginning. But that week will be shortened 250 days by the Lord's mighty hand. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24, verse 22.